In our fairly short passage this morning, Luke recounts a significant and well-known miracle performed by Jesus. It's one of his greatest hits, a real Sunday school classic. Its significance warrants it being described in three of the four Gospels. The instant calming of a terrible storm at sea has quite a wow factor, and we are pointedly told that it had quite an effect on the disciples who witnessed it, who, remember, had already seen Jesus do a lot of extraordinary things. It also lends itself to a great deal of teaching. It lends itself to teaching, not least because it can quite clearly be used as a metaphor for how trusting in Jesus can calm the stormy times in our own lives, where events, sometimes out of our control, sometimes as a direct consequence of our actions, can threaten to capsize us and sink us into the depths of despair. But while I will allude to this briefly later, it is not my focus this morning. Rather, we are going to look at what this passage teaches about faith and obedience. And we are going to do this by asking three questions. Or rather, I'm going to ask you three questions, which I suggest you spend some time thinking about over the rest of the day or week. Two of these questions come straight from the text, and the third is one I think the passage calls us to ask ourselves. They are, question one, who then is this that he commands even winds and water and they obey him? Question two, where is your faith? Question three, do you, like the winds and water, obey Jesus? Question one, who then is this? Who is Jesus? In verse 25 we read, and they were afraid and they marvelled, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even winds and water and they obey him? Well, this is the first question we will ask today. This is not the first time this question has been asked as we travelled through Luke's gospel. It's come up a few times, but it's a crucial question the next two questions depend on. So we will ask the question again, looking through the prism of today's passage. Who do you believe Jesus was or is? I think there are really three main options. A, Jesus was a fictional character. He never really existed. And what we read here in Luke's Gospel is just another nice story, a fable. Option B, that Jesus did exist and he was a teacher and a prophet. Maybe a bit of a con man, a false teacher, given his claims to be the Son of God. Or maybe a great teacher and a mighty prophet, in spite of his claims to be the Son of God. But either way, he was 100% man and no more than that. And option C, lastly, that Jesus was the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, the promised Saviour of mankind, the Messiah, Christ, both man and God. So we'll look at the evidence we have before us and see what looks likely. I also use the internet for a bit of research here. You have to be very careful what you find on the internet, but I try to tread carefully in my choice of sources. Well, besides the Bible, there appear to be other historical sources that confirm the existence of a religious leader called Jesus the Christ. There are two non-Christian contemporary historians who mention Jesus in their writings, Josephus, a Jewish historian, and a Roman historian called Tacitus, who both mention him as a real person who was executed under Pilate. The article on Wikipedia states that this, together with the biblical writings, means that there is much more evidence available for Jesus than for any other notable person from first century Galilee. So in general, scholars agree that Jesus was a real person. And to quote Wikipedia again, there is almost universal assent that he was baptized by John the Baptist and crucified under Pontius Pilate, if not about much else. So historians seem to agree that Jesus was a real person, which makes the first option I listed, that Jesus was a fictional character, a precarious position to hold to. It's also interesting to note that the Quran, the religious writings of Islam, also talk about Jesus, son of Mary, as a historical figure. They call him the Messiah and they say he was born of a virgin. It says he did many miracles, including raising the dead to life, and that he was a great prophet, highly favoured by Allah. However, it says he wasn't crucified. And that contradicts the historical accounts we mentioned earlier. It also says that he was not God, but just a man. Albeit a man born of a virgin who did a lot of miracles. So another source, admittedly written about 600 years after Jesus, confirms this as a real-life person, and one who did pretty amazing supernatural things. Although it differs from the accounts written relatively soon after his death by both non-Christian and Christian sources by denying the crucifixion. Right, well, let's look at what our passage this morning says about it. Well, it's a passage that clearly shows us both seemingly conflicting sides of Jesus, his humanity and his deity. Verse 23, And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him. We see Jesus fall into a very deep sleep. So deep that a raging tempest didn't wake him. As Keith reminded us a couple of months ago in a children's talk, God the Father doesn't sleep. But humans do. Jesus clearly was tired and needed sleep, just as you and I do. So clearly he was a man. But then, in the very next verse, verse 24, we read, "And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm." We now see Jesus giving the winds and waves a good telling off, and they obey him and calm down. This is something that you and I can't do. No man can. It brings to mind the story of King Canute, the mighty Viking king of England, Denmark and Norway. The legend goes that when he was at the height of his ascendancy, he ordered his chair to be placed on the seashore as the tide was coming in. Then he said to the rising tide, "You are subject to me, as the land in which I am sitting is mine, and no one has resisted my overlordship with impunity. I command you, therefore, not to rise onto my land, nor to presume to wet the clothing or limbs of your master." But the sea came up as usual, and disrespectfully drenched the king's feet and shins. So jumping back, the king cried, "Let all the world know that the power of kings is empty and worthless, and there is no king worthy the name, save him by whose will heaven, earth and the seas obey eternal laws." Oh, as great wet King Canute realised, controlling the elements is the domain of God alone. Also, it's obvious that this was no minor storm, just about to blow itself out. The disciples woke Jesus up in a panic. Some of these disciples were hardened fishermen who had had plenty of experience sailing in rough seas. But here they were consumed by terror. They woke Jesus up in desperation as they believed that this was it. They were all going to drown. This was a big, bad storm, and it was in full force. And yet, at Jesus' command, the winds and the waves were calmed. The reaction of the disciples is telling. Verse 25 tells us they were afraid, but they marvelled. These were the same disciples that already witnessed Jesus heal lepers, make the blind see, make the lame walk, and even raise the dead to life. Surely by now, their expectations of Jesus had raised somewhat. And yet here they were compelled to ask the question we are now considering. Who then is this, that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him? Well, I believe that it's clear that in this passage, Luke is highlighting the deity of Christ. Luke is saying, "Here is the Son of God." That is Luke's focus in this passage. He has authority over nature. He can control the elements with his words, which is humanly impossible, even for great kings. In this passage, Luke is answering the disciples' question beyond any doubt. Well, on to question two. Where is your faith? After calming the wind and the waves in verse 25, Jesus addresses his disciples with this question. Where is your faith? In the context of our passage, this is a very good question. The disciples had already witnessed a good deal of miraculous healings of all manner of illnesses and conditions. Jesus raised his widow's son from the dead. Yet here they thought it was all going to end with Jesus and them drowned at sea. So Jesus asked them, after all they've already seen, how can they still be so afraid of a storm when they're in his presence? Where is their faith? And it's easy for us to shake our heads and say, "Yes, yes, silly, faithless disciples, when will they learn?" But it's more difficult for us to engage in a bit of self-reflection and ask ourselves that same question. Where is our faith? Where truly is your faith? Your answer to this question would depend on your answer to the first to a large degree. If, largely in the face of the evidence, you still believe that Jesus is a work of fiction, then clearly your faith won't be in him. But what is it you believe in? Some less personal overarching authority such as fate or Mother Nature? A loose faith in the basic fairness of the universe akin to karma? Science, which constantly has to rewrite itself with new theories and refinements to older ones, to to reflect the inaccuracies and inconsistencies that the new information or constant technological progression reveal to us? Do you just trust in chance? Life, the universe, everything is just drifting like a log on the sea, taking whichever direction random processes decide. Well, I guess that's up to you. This is still a question I suggest you should seriously consider. If you believe Jesus existed, was just a man, potentially a great teacher or prophet, what then? Well, maybe you could have a certain amount of faith in his teachings. Many Buddhists and Hindus agree with a lot with at least some of his teachings, and it's hard to argue against there being at least some spiritual wisdom in teachings such as do unto others as you then do unto you, or love thy neighbour as thyself. The faith in the man himself is out of the question. He's been dead almost 2,000 years. Well, if you believe as I do, that Jesus is the Son of God, then where is your faith? It is clear from this passage where it should be. Have you pronounced that your faith is in Christ? Have you done this publicly through baptism? If not, why not? Surely if you conclude that Jesus is the Son of God, and he said himself that he is the only way to eternal life, then this is the only possible response. If you have pronounced your faith is in Christ, then don't think that lets you off the hook. The question wasn't asked to the crowds, to the wavering masses. It was asked to his closest disciples, who had very clearly and deliberately given up everything to follow him. They had clearly proclaimed their faith in Jesus by doing so. And yet a storm comes along and their faith is shaken to such a degree that Jesus asks them this question. Jesus questions their faith. What answer do you get if you question yours? Do you proclaim a faith in Jesus, yet are still tossed this way and that by every gust of wind, by every big wave in this stormy life, overcome by worry and crippled by anxiety? Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Do you proclaim a faith in Christ, yet in reality you protect yourself behind your wealth and status, a false security blanket in case things go wrong? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Do you proclaim a faith in Christ? Yeah, the first sign of adversity, your natural instinct is to take control, to plot and plan, to trust in your own abilities. Jesus said again in Matthew 6, "And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life?" And in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a little concerned about the future, or putting aside some money into savings or pension, or taking some action to solve your problems. But we should ask ourselves whether we trust Jesus first and foremost. Do we go to him in prayer first? Do we consult him before acting? When there were difficulties in my marriage and it became apparent that the end was in sight, I prayed. And though I prayed that God would save my marriage and keep my family together, I finished the prayer by saying, "But your will be done." It was difficult praying those words, as it was giving voice to my worst fears. But praying those words shifted my trust from my marriage and my family to Christ. And it brought a large amount of peace with it. I still worried a bit about the future. I still had a bit more of a focus on saving a little extra money in case the worst case scenario happened. I still took action to try to save my marriage. But accepting that it was in the Lord's hands and trusting that he'd be there with me whatever happened was a huge source of strength, peace and hope through what happened next. And it proved to be a trust well placed. So if you profess to be a Christian, ask yourself this question. Where actually is your faith? Or in other words, do you first and foremost trust in the Lord in each and every situation? Right. Our third and final question. Question 3. Do you obey Jesus? This is not a question actually asked in the passage, but it's one that hit me in the face while studying it. Firstly, in verse 22 we read, one day he got into the boat with his disciples and he said to them, let's go across the other side of the lake. So they set out. Jesus said something and the disciples immediately obeyed. We don't hear of any questions. No. Ooh, I don't know about this, Jesus. Looks like a storm could whip up at any moment. Instead, they just set out across the lake. And we see this throughout the Gospels. Jesus says, go grab a fish and take a coin out of its mouth to pay the taxes. They don't say, it's okay, Jesus, I have a bit of change in my pocket. Jesus says, feed 5,000 people with a few loaves and pieces of fish. And off they trot. Go untie and take a random donkey and its colt. Yes, sir, 3 bags full, sir. There are instances throughout the Gospels where Jesus gives his disciples often unusual instructions and they just do as they're told. They obey Jesus. And then in verse 25 of our passage, the disciples ask each other, who then is this that he commands even winds and water and they obey him? Even the winds and the water obey him. The natural elements obey Jesus. This is crazy. They don't even obey kings like poor old soggy feet Canute. We have discussed this earlier, but I don't think you can overplay just how insane this is. To calm the winds and the waves with just his voice. I can't even get my children to do what they're told. And again, it's worth pointing out that disciples have already witnessed the lame walk, the blind see, the sick be made well, the dead be brought back to life. They are still astounded by this one. Even the winds and the waves obey Jesus. So the question is, do you obey Jesus? Again, it depends on who you believe Jesus is. If you believe Jesus is fictional, then the answer is obvious. Why would you obey him? But who or what do you obey? If you hold that he was a great prophet, then you might pay heed to some of his teachings, insomuch as they offer a great deal of wisdom, and they may match your own personal philosophy or beliefs. But in terms of obedience, well, that is probably at most optional. But if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then the theoretical answer is pretty clear-cut. For those of us who profess to be Christians, we are given the examples of the disciples and even the winds and the waves. In theory, our answer should be an unequivocal yes. But what is your actual answer? Is it yes? Or is it sometimes? Maybe when it suits you? Or when it aligns with your view or even the world's view of your best interests? Or is it when you remember? Or when you really, really put your mind to it? Is it rarely? Or even, no, not really? I would suggest few, if any of us, could answer with a big fat yes all of the time. This is a question we who have committed ourselves to Christ should ask ourselves and give some time to really considering and answering. And if the answer is not yes all the time, then that is a problem. It's not just the examples in this passage that say we should obey Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And in Luke 18, 28, he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And it was just a couple of months ago we heard the parable of the men building houses on rock and sand. The wise man building his house with foundations on the rock was the person who heard Jesus' words and did them. And the foolish man who built on the sand was the man who heard his words and did not do them. Obedience to Jesus is a common theme throughout his ministry and indeed the whole New Testament. It is clearly not optional. So if our answer is sometimes, occasionally, rarely or never, then we should further reflect on what is getting in the way of our obedience and consider what we can do to remove or better navigate these obstacles so that our answer in future is some way closer to the theoretical answer, yes. What else will help? Well, spending time reading the Bible and in prayer, asking the Lord to help us to be obedient to him all the time, asking him to send us his Holy Spirit to help us. We should also keep this morning's passage in mind, as it reminds us of who we are obeying. Jesus could control the winds and the waves. Jesus could calm the storm with just his voice. Jesus is the Son of God, and he is still in control. He is still able to calm the storms in our lives. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So, put your faith 100% in Jesus, the Son of God. Trust in him first and foremost, and make obedience to him your first priority. And like the wise man in the parable I mentioned earlier, these strong foundations will keep you standing in whatever stormy weather life throws at you.